The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I wonder if anybody out there listening still has an alarm clock as opposed to a phone. I remember one time my phone died when I was supposed to use it as my alarm. And I was taking a nap before coming into the show, and the phone died. So the alarm did not go off for obvious reasons. And whatever woke me up, I don't remember. It's always the best sleep of my life, the best sleep of my week at the very least, when I'm taking a nap and I need to get up and come to work. That's always the thing. And so I remember I overslept. I sat straight up in bed when something woke me up and realized instantly that it was not the time that I was normally supposed to be getting up and getting out of bed. And I looked at my, well, the phone was dead, but it was an old phone that I was using as an alarm, so not my actual cell phone. And I look at my cell phone and it's, I think, 25 minutes to showtime. And I have got to get the dog outside. I'm not dressed. I don't have coffee, anything like that. And my commute into New York City, Lower Manhattan, which is where our studios are located, is easily 35 minutes. And so I was already going to be late. And of course, I had to call the producer, make sure that the host before me could stay on an extra segment. And when I finally talked to the boss, so sometime the next day, I talked to the boss and he said, if you are going to use your alarm clock or use your phone as an alarm clock, can you please make sure you set two of them, meaning two different phones? So from that point on, I never used that old phone because it was dying. It was just some old flip phone that I used to use years ago. But yeah, it was prone to dying because it couldn't hold a battery anymore. So it is a little scary if you have a cell phone that you use as your alarm. I know Pete, when he was working early, early mornings and not this overnight shift, he would have producer Jay call him. But the thing is, I thought your phone was on do not disturb or something. So how would you get a text or a call through?
Well, I would set an automated message that would go off at a certain time. If I'm not up by that certain time, that message goes off and Jay would just ring the phone.
Just keep ringing the phone.
Keep ringing the phone. Now, the problem is if something happened to the battery on the phone, you know, you're screwed. But but now it's set for my wife to wake me up if I oversleep.
Oh, because she's still awake.
She's still awake.
Putting the kids to bed, more than likely, or getting ready for bed herself.
So if I'm not up by a certain time, she will see if I'm, make sure I'm up. Sometimes she falls asleep, and then we have a problem. But that, you know, that happens. But it's just a defense mechanism. I just like putting it in place. I don't want to be a guy that's late, you know? It happens, but, you know, anything I can do to avoid it.
It's happened to me one time. The other times that I've been running late, I wouldn't say I've been late and missed the beginning of the show, but been running late have been all about traffic. That's what it is. Some kind of crazy accident or a construction issue. And that happens fairly routinely where I leave my house and I think, oh, I'm good to go, and then hit a traffic jam. It almost always happens when I don't check traffic that night. I'm listening to a game. I'm thinking about the show and I don't listen to the traffic reports, and then boom, run right into it.
But you could still, of course, you could still check traffic and still run into it.
That's true.
I mean, there's times where you can give yourself all that time in the world, and there's no way around something that's major, and nothing you can do about that.
Or it happens in the moments after you check traffic, because it can snarl that quickly. Anyone who lives in or works in or around a major metro certainly understands how quickly traffic can get backed up.
Condolences.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. One of the reasons why I was never a city girl. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, Richard says, I still use an alarm clock plus my cell phone. The alarm clock is 20 years old. Yeah, I had one until about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. Now, I wasn't using it as an alarm clock, but I did have one of those digital clocks in my bedroom, because often if I wake up and I can't see the time, it's a little stressful. And so I would have the clock in there just so that if I woke up in the middle of the night, I wouldn't have to pick up my phone. I could see what the time was without picking up the phone and then being bombarded with messages or emails. But I did get rid of it. It finally died. It was at least 15 years old, and it finally died. So now it's cell phone or bust, baby. Do you think Jameis Winston has earned himself a starting gig in the NFL? Another 500 yards passing, franchise record for the Browns, 4 touchdowns but 3 interceptions. I don't know why the Browns would ever go back to Deshaun Watson unless they have to, because of the money situation and the guaranteed contract they gave him. Winston definitely takes responsibility for the things that go wrong and the mistakes that he makes, but he's also given juice and life to the Browns offense.
I messed it up for us in front of the whole wide world, but I'm going to continue to get better. We're going to put this one behind us, and Lord willing, we go to Pittsburgh and finish strong. Finish. It's about finishing. It's about showing up when you need to show up most.
Very, very disappointed. You put a lot into these games and players, coaches, and you want to come out on the other side, and we didn't do that. And we win as a team, we lose as a team, and we'll own this one. But very, very disappointed.
I think it's ludicrous to move on from Kevin Stefanski. Anyone who would suggest the Browns need to change coaches, I think that's a knee-jerk reaction. I get that they have lost again, or another losing season here at 3-9 right now, but they are a tough out. They're not in a cream puff team. They don't really have those in the NFL. But also, he makes them competitive despite all the challenges and the adversity that he's handed. It's not his decision. It's not his fault, shall we say, that the Browns ownership and front office decided to give Deshaun Watson a faded contract that would hitch their wagon to his star. It's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. I don't know. Maybe one day he'll write a book, or he'll do a tell-all interview in which he indicates that he never wanted to give Deshaun Watson that contract and didn't want Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. But you've got to deal with the players that are on your roster. You've got to play the hand you're dealt, if you will. Goodness, the old Kenny Rogers song is coming to mind. I know you all are right now about to start singing it out loud.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so Kevin Stefanski can only coach the guys that are on his roster. How is that his fault that the ownership decided to sell their soul to bring in Deshaun Watson, whatever soul they might have had, on the shores of Lake Erie? I know a lot of people are not big fans of the Haslams and how they run the team. Kevin Stefanski manages to make lemonade out of lemons. He manages to do that. He's done it multiple years in a row. Man, that Baker Mayfield situation looks a whole lot better now, doesn't it? Got to be careful. Careful what you wish for, number one. Number two, it's the devil you know and the devil you don't know. You get rid of your QB. Well, what are you going to replace him with? 855-212-4227. Has Jameis Winston done enough to earn himself a starting gig in the NFL? Because there will be some openings. Myles Garrett, he's been playing through pain a good portion of the season. Cleveland's defense gave up 400 yards of offense to Denver and 27 points.
You know, we were in position to win, and we didn't capitalize at the end of the game, and that's on us. You know, we have to make more plays on defense. You know, there were some more plays out there, and I know we'll see it tomorrow, and, you know, that'll be, you know, tell of the tape for us, but, you know, it's a combined effort, and, you know, can't put, you know, all of on either side. You know, we just have to be better overall.
So Sean Payton initially had not a whole lot to say about the win. He was kind of stunned. His first phrase was, holy cow. Oh, and I'll take questions. But what about Jerry Jeudy racking up a career 235 passing yards?
It's coaching. I mean, it's us always making sure, hey, did we put our guys in the best position? But, you know, again, we made enough plays.
That is true. Survive and advance in the NFL. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get back to the phones. And I do want to know if you think Jameis Winston has done enough to earn a starting gig again in the NFL. He's had multiple options, but it had been 2 years since his last start in New Orleans and his start with the Browns a couple of weeks ago. And if nothing else, at least they move the football up and down the field. At least he chucks and ducks. I know he sometimes chucks it to the wrong team, the wrong uniform, but at least he's out there making stuff happen, if you will. Tony is in Illinois. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
You got to know when to hold them.
See what I mean?
Know when to fold them. You got to walk away. No, you got to run away from Jameis Winston. Although I love him because I'm a Broncos fan. I don't know if you remember that, but.
Jameis Winston, not Deshaun Watson. You're talking about Jameis.
Yes, Jameis. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, look back at his last few games. I think I just heard an analyst say this the other day that no matter what, if he throws for 10 touchdowns, he's going to throw for 3 interceptions, and those are probably going to be the game breakers. But, you know, he's in great shape again. He probably will find a team, but it might be in Cleveland. But I don't know. He's not top tier quarterback, but he can still, like you said, throw it all over the place. Mm-hmm. And sometimes to the wrong guys, which happened to be our guys tonight. So I was happy with it.
If you look back at his game since he took over as the starter for the Browns, the first game he played was late October against the Ravens, a win for them, a stunner to be sure, in which he passed for better than 330. He had 3 touchdowns and no picks, which was impressive. A QB right. or a passer rating of better than 115. His next game against the Chargers, 1 touchdown and 3 picks. And he got sacked 6 times. So that was a rough game for the entire offense. Then the game against the Saints, which was, of course, his former team. So back in New Orleans, passed for nearly 400 yards and 100 fewer than he had tonight. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 3 sacks. But again, a passer rating that was over 100. The game against Pittsburgh, they ended up winning. He only passed for 219, and he had an interception. So in that one, he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but limited the damage, I suppose. And then this game, obviously, where he passed for nearly 500 yards and had almost as many interceptions as he had touchdowns. So, yes, he is a mixed bag. Actually, while we're talking about theme songs or songs that will come to mind, it's the facts of life theme song. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have Jameis Winston.
Right. How about Bo Nix, though? How about our guy? I mean, come on. It's been a long time coming. You know that.
I think that with Bo Nix, because of the Broncos situation and because of Sean Payton and his ability to coach quarterbacks, I think that it was the right situation for him to become a starter right away without the pressure of being in the spotlight. Number one, being on a team that was expected to win right away. I mean, this team has been through so many iterations, a roster, coaching staff, front office since they last made the playoffs that they've become, I don't want to say irrelevant, not anymore, but yeah, they were not relevant in the NFL for the last few years. And for them to throw Bo Nix into a situation, where there's not a lot of attention on him at the beginning. Now there is now because they're an 8-win team, but not nearly the white, harsh spotlight that they had immediately after Peyton Manning. And so I do think that's been a ground where he can thrive. Obviously, there are a bunch of young pieces around him, too, which is good. Right. This offense could potentially grow up together.
Yeah. No, and I love it because everybody was saying, oh, he's a rookie, blah, 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 but he's almost a 30-year-old rookie. You know what I mean? Auburn, Oregon, the Pac-12 records that he broke, those are going to stand forever. He is a good quarterback and the perfect quarterback for Sean Payton's system. I mean, just look at him. He looks just like Drew Brees, only in the face, not.
Well, I would say his size. I mean, he's a lot taller.
And Sean Payton wants to throw those quick slants and out to the edge and just get rid of the ball or hand it off. And he's doing everything the coach wants. And then it looks perfect. And I wish Russell Wilson would have worked out, but look at him in Pittsburgh. And a quick shout out to my boy, Jerry Jeudy. I wish you would have done that for us while you were there, but not again.
I appreciate the phone call, Tony. Thanks so much. I shouldn't say a lot taller. Drew Brees, maybe he was listed at 6 foot, 6'1". He didn't look that way. Bo Nix is listed at 6'2". So he's taller. He's leaner, right? He's a guy who can run, he can get out, and he can use his legs as well. The number 12 overall pick in this most recent draft, and right now is among the top 10 when it comes to quarterbacks passing for TDs, right? So he's in the mix for Rookie of the Year. He's also in the mix just in terms of the AFC QBs and the guys who have found a home, have found some stability, and the reps that he could take without pressure, without a lot of eyes on him, far more people paying attention to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and who else? Just name a rookie quarterback. Far more people paying attention to the other teams where rookies were starting. And so he kind of was able to get his feet wet, get some reps, and not have to feel that crazy spotlight on him because the expectations for the Broncos were so low. Well, now maybe they've been ratcheted up a bunch, and he's been able to get a half a season plus under his belt. Broncos haven't had their bye yet. They're going into their bye, so it's been a long haul without a break. And what did we hear from D'Amico Ryans after their game on Sunday? We're exhausted because we haven't had a break. And this is I'm not mistaken, week 14 is the last round of byes, correct? So you've got the last few teams that are essentially limping to their bye week. And if you're the Broncos, you're thrilled because you wrap up with a 3-game win streak and now you get a break that feels good. And if you're the Texans, you feel good about it too because you were able to end your losing skid and get back in the win column. But this is a late bye. You've got guys who desperately need the break. Mark is listening in Nova Scotia. Mark, what do you think about Jameis Winston?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Caught me off guard. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Amy. Love your show, by the way. I think this first time I've ever called. Jameis Winston, what a great performance besides, you know, the interceptions. But Jameis Winston, I've always been a fan since going back to Florida State days. But this guy, Jameis Winston, is not starting quarterback material. He's like the poster boy for a reliable backup quarterback. He takes way too many risks. It worked when he was down in Florida, in Tallahassee. But this is the problem with him. You know, like he'll put up crazy numbers, but he makes too many mistakes, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you about the mistakes for sure. Fact is, he's still got a live arm. He can move the ball up and down the field. And I think guys enjoy playing with him. Now, he's a bit of a live wire, but I don't think they care what he says in post-game press conferences. They care more about whether or not he can move the ball. That he's done. He has sparked this Browns offense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I have trouble picturing him as, like, you know, a starting quarterback going forward. It just doesn't seem to fit that mold. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of 5 years from now, Jameis Winston starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns or any team leading them to a Super Bowl. Backup. He's a backup material. In my humble opinion.
Okay, so of those teams out there that probably need QBs, even if it is a stopgap, you're saying go somewhere else.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, like, he's one of these frustrating guys that I've all, like I said, I followed him back in his Florida State days.
Right.
And it just, I don't think he's NFL starting quarterback material.
Well, I would agree with you that he's always been this way. In fact, I have had the same line about Jameis Winston since he was at Florida State, which is that he has an affinity for interceptions. I mean, he loves interceptions. He's a love-hate relationship with them.
Sure, but he could get away with it more in college. But I got you.
Yeah, I mean, his 2019 year with Tampa before they signed Tom Brady is the epitome of Jameis. He throws for 5,000 yards. He leads the NFL. Yep. He has 33 touchdown passes. Five. He also has 30 interceptions. I mean, that's Jameis Winston in a nutshell.
To me. It is, and it was kind of Brett Favre, too, I guess. But he's not Brett Favre.
Oh, gosh, no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
But you know what I'm saying. You know what analogy I'm making.
Well, in terms of being a gunslinger, sure. We could call him a poor man's Brett Favre. He's not as good as Brett.
Like that, yeah.
I get what you're saying. But, yeah, it's always a mixed bag.
It is.
You're never going to get, an entire season where he doesn't have these moments. Because he is always looking to make that big play, that home run ball, if you will, right? He's not a guy who checks down often. He will if he has to, but how often is he on the move? He's doing the bootlegs. He's out, he's out of the pocket. He turns his back to the defense, which is one point
and
that Kevin...
And he's exciting to watch. And you know, the thing is, though, like, he's 30 years old. Like, he's had enough tryouts. I just don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of people that thought that Gardner Minshew would be done starting in the NFL, right? Or that Joe Flacco would never get a job again. Sometimes supply and demand, the economy of quarterbacks comes into play.
So true. I mean, nice talking to you.
You too. Great. Thanks so much for listening. 855-212-4227. It's interesting to think about Jameis and his career as a whole. He is 30. He's he'd be 31 in a month. So he's getting close to 31. But he's only 30. He's been in the league for what feels like forever, and he's only 30. In fact, this is his 10th year in the league. So he started in 2015. He spent 5 seasons with Tampa. Then he went to a different NFC South team, and he was there for 4 years with the Saints. Now his first year in Cleveland, and as a starter, you can see the potential is still there. He's the same quarterback, maybe a little smarter, certainly takes accountability, but this is always Jameis Winston and who he will be forever. He can't change his nature, and his nature is to go for the big play, to go for the knockout blow, the home run ball, if you will, which is why, like a lot of home run hitters, it's either big fly or strikeout. That seems like Jameis Winston. It's either big fly or strikeout. So we'll see. Producer Pete is, I can see the wheels turning in there because the Giants and the Jets could both be in search of quarterbacks. Now, the Giants may very well end up with the number one overall pick, though right now they don't have it, correct? The Jacksonville Jaguars have it right now because of tiebreak, and I don't know all the mechanisms for that. But the 3 teams that have 2 wins are the Jags, the Giants, and the Raiders. Those 3 teams right now, but I do believe the order is Jags, Giants, Raiders at this point, though we still have a few weeks left.
Yeah, they're going to play a hot potato with that for next couple of weeks. Who's worse?
I don't believe in tanking. I do not believe
I'm with
in
you.
Tanking.
I think that unless you're on the Sanders bandwagon, I don't know if there's the quarterback here for any of those teams. I think it might be a year where a guy like Jameis gets the contract to play for a couple years on a team like that that's looking for their top quarterback, maybe not this year, but next year.
Yeah, it's not a quarterback-rich draft like the last one where we saw five QBs go in the first 12 picks. It's not going to be that way. Why can I not remember who went number 3 overall? Remind me. It was Caleb Williams. It was Jaden Daniels.
Drake May.
Thank you. Yes, to New England. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, my New England family. Drake May goes number 3 overall. All three of those guys have been starting since the beginning. Bo Nix has been starting since the beginning. J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Michael Penix is behind Kirk Cousins. So those are your 5. And this upcoming draft, Shedeur Sanders is considered NFL prospect material. But I don't want to say there's nothing behind him, but it's not nearly the same excitement level as there was for this most recent class.
But do you also, with him, you also want Deion in your ear? Because you know it's going to happen. He's going to be around.
Yeah, I think he's more respected in the NFL, though. He's a Hall of Famer. It's not like the... Who was the... It was not... Lonzo LaMelo. Who is the father?
LeVar,
thank you. It's not like LeVar Ball, who's going to cast a shadow and doesn't have a ton of credibility except that he's their dad. Deion Sanders is highly respected and highly regarded. Whether or not you think he should be coaching, blah, 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 his team is headed to a potential college football playoff spot. And he has turned that Colorado program around. But also in the NFL... Deion carries a ton of credibility because of his playing career. So I don't think that's an issue. I think most teams are okay dealing with him. They recognize he's got his son's best interest at heart, but also that he knows the league. He understands the business of the NFL.
Yeah, that's the one consolation compared to a guy like LeVar Ball.
Right, exactly. Who was trying to serve as the agent for his sons, even though he had no experience at all with the NBA. And not that a new voice is always a bad thing, but when you're Deion Sanders, you walk into a room and everyone knows what you've done, both in the NFL as well as outside the NFL and other sports. At A-Law Radio, vote for Monday MVP. A few minutes left. We're going to introduce our candidates for TD of the Week. Coming up, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First and 10, his own 42. The shotgun snap, the short drop, the quick throw, far side. It's intercepted. Denver's intercepted in McMillan, 40. Sideline, 30. Down the sideline, 20. 10, 5, touchdown. It's a pick six. It's a Bronco pick six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are asking you whether or not Jameis Winston has earned himself a starting gig in the NFL. And Marco Belletti is here in studio. We haven't seen each other in what feels like forever. Hello.
Hello.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Good.
Yep. I put on at least 5 pounds. Will you?
Yes.
Yes. I feel like if you escape with under a 10-pound gain, that you're at least, you at least have a month, well, in this case, 3 weeks to get ready for Christmas before it happens all over again. Mm. So we're talking about potential jobs for Jameis Winston. And I'm asking whether or not people feel like he's earned another spot in the NFL. This coming draft is not nearly as quarterback heavy as what we saw. There are always quarterbacks that move around. Shedeur Sanders at the top. We'll see how the Sanders family orchestrates his future. Mm. But we are looking at potential openings with both the Jets and the Giants. I mean, it would be so Jets to bring in Jameis Winston. The Jets and the Giants. Maybe even Cleveland, right? Because they still have a lot of money invested in Deshaun Watson, but there's no way they can go back to him, right?
Well, I don't say that.
Come
Plus,
on.
The only thing is, keep in mind, he may not be ready for the beginning of the season.
Okay,
good so chance
that.
He's not
there's
ready
that.
For the beginning of the season.
The Raiders still need a quarterback, and while right now they're sitting in the top three, so depending upon tiebreakers, it's Jacksonville who has the number one overall pick at this point, but there are still games to go, right? So the Raiders, they could potentially be looking for a quarterback as well. See, I feel like the Dallas Cowboys are stuck. As much as Jerry Jones may want to blow the whole thing up and start over, I don't know what you can do with Dak right after you sign into that huge deal.
Look, you could do that, but you're doing that for Shador Sanders. You're not doing that for Jameis Winston. You're not going to have a cap hit of $90 million for Dak Prescott turn it around to Jameis Winston. It's
good
not happening.
Right, so it's not Dallas, although I mentioned the Giants. I think the Panthers are going to feel good about Bryce Young now because of what's happening with Dave Canales. They're getting better. They need people around him. The Saints, I actually don't know Derek Carr's contract status, but it's not working out great there. I don't know they're bringing back Jameis Winston, though.
I mean, again, that's going backwards. They had it once, didn't do that much. And Derek Carr, what are you doing here? Derek Carr to Jameis Winston? Like, what?
Well, right, but if the Saints are not going to be drafting...
You're shuffling shares.
I know, but where else do you go? That's the point, is you have to find a quarterback somewhere, and there's not going to be... Daniel Jones is now with the Vikings, though that's not a long-term thing.
I mean, who knows? Because Sam Darnold may not be a long-term deal, because I could see him getting paid in the offseason. Darnold parlays this season into payday somewhere else. Daniel Jones could be the bridge to when J.J. McCarthy is healthy/ready. And all of a sudden, the Vikings turn to him and see if he could be another reclamation project, just like Sam Darnold was. It's almost exactly the same.
Well, they have J.J. McCarthy, though.
Right, but he's coming off the knee injury, yes. And he hasn't done anything. I mean, is he ready to step in? Not only physically is he ready to take over the reins? The guy played, what, one preseason game? I mean,
that's why I feel like they might want to stick with Sam, though. If Sam's available.
Well, then you got to pay him. That's the point. I think Sam Darnold's going to get paid. Someone's going to pay Sam Darnold off this season. I don't know who that is.
Of the teams that we're just talking about?
Someone will pay
him. Could you imagine if he went back to New York?
No.
Not the Jets, but the Giants?
No. No, because I don't think...
I can.
Yeah, I don't see that. I could see somebody paying him, but they got to be somebody that thinks that they're a quarterback that can help them take the next level into a playoff spot and maybe going somewhere. I don't think...
Raiders.
Where the Giants are, where the Jets are. They're not. The Jets are not going
or
back
the
to
the Raiders.
Sam Darnold. No, again, and Jameis Winston's in that same category. Like, Jameis Winston's going to get a job, and he may vie for a starting position. He's going to be in a spot similar to last year when the Raiders signed Gardner Minshew. Like, if you've got nothing, Jameis Winston's a hell of a step up. If you actually have a quarterback or you have the position to be able to get another quarterback, Winston's a bridge. Yeah, that's what he's going to be for the rest of his
career. But it might be Cleveland, though, because, again,
absolutely.
Deshaun may not be ready. Maybe they learned their lesson after letting
100%.
Joe Flacco walk last year.
100%.
They could have had him to start the year and not had to worry about a new system, blah, blah, blah.
And that's a good spot because he knows it. And he might be willing to just stay there. I mean, again, I don't think anybody's going to blow anybody out of the water for Jameis Winston. He got, what, a $4 million deal for this year for the Browns? Like, I can't imagine... What? This turns into an $8 million deal?
It's a quarterback.
Right, but it's not going to be... Nobody's going to offer Jameis Winston $25 million. You know, so if you want him, he's there. That basically has come down to
it. The thing is, we know in the NFL, when you're a backup QB, you're more than likely going to get some time on the field. Just that's how it happens these days.
Right, and he's a great backup quarterback. If you've got to go to Jameis Winston for a short period of time, you feel very good that he can run your offense and can get you some wins. It's similar to that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Gardner Minshew. Like, I hate to put it on these guys, but, like, if they're your quarterback for the long run, if they're your quarterback for, like, 3 weeks, I feel good. I feel good. You give me 16 weeks of Jameis Winston, I'm sorry. I can't do the roller coaster. I can't do that for a season unless my season is to get the quarterback that I just drafted in the top 10 ready for next year. That's the only way you can stomach a full year of 35 touchdowns and 35 picks and 5,000 yards from Jameis Winston.
It truly is a roller coaster ride where one second it's thrilling and you're on the precipice and you're about to drop, and the next second your stomach is in your mouth.
If you want to know what the Winston experience is, it was tonight. It was Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
You watched the entire thing. 497 and four touchdowns, but three picks, two of them go back for touchdowns, and the last one's in the end zone.
Yep.
That's Jameis Winston, and you lose by one score. That's Jameis Winston.
It is. It's absolutely been his entire career, even going back to the Florida State days. So I have to tell you something funny. You guys will love this. I was waiting until I had a chance to share it with you. Earlier, and maybe you saw it, Marco and Pete, there was a post from some source online that covers baseball news. And they're going through the winter meetings right now. And Rob Manfred has thrown out this golden at-bat concept. The two of you both were like rubbing your hand over your face. there, he says there's buzz. I'm using the word that's being quoted by MLB Deadline News. And it's a legitimate account here. It's got a lot of followers. Buzz around adding the golden at-bat rule. Now, here's what that is for people who don't know. A team could choose one at-bat in every game to use its best hitter, regardless of where they are in the lineup. So just as an example, you could use Aaron Judge hitting cleanup. Then you need a big hit two guys later, and you sub in Aaron Judge again. That I don't know if there would be any restrictions on it, but that's essentially what this golden at bat is. It's like a mulligan in golf, something along those lines. This has got to be the most ridiculous and egregious, egregious abuse of power for Rob Manfred, unless he's just trolling us. Like, if this was April Fool's Day, I would say April Fool's. But that's, no. The stupid runner on second base in extra innings is bad enough. Now you're going to flirt with a golden at-bat rule?
Huh. Did he mean they were buzzed when they talked about this?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is hard. I
got to tell you.
You don't have to be a baseball purist to think that is ridiculous.
This will probably happen. And it'll be good for the game. I got to be fair.
No.
I would hate it. This would be good for the game.
Why?
Because it gives people a chance to talk about it. It would be strategic. It would be every night. It would give you a reason to tune in late in a game.
So in other words, your baseball, you sell your soul to the devil just so people are talking about what a ridiculous rule it is?
How far has baseball fallen in sports?
According to baseball, they're making money hand over fist.
They make money, but really, I mean, the NFL rules the world. NBA is behind them. Where's baseball? At best, a distant three? And it's what, a regional sport? Anybody talk about it on a national level?
Yeah, during the month of October, that's it.
Great. You will.
Great.
It gives the league buzz. It's not the way I would want the buzz, but it gives the league buzz.
It's gimmicky.
100% gimmick. Oh, 100% it's gimmick.
It's like they're running on second base.
You know what?
It's like reality TV that's actually scripted.
And that rule has actually been good for the game. It's not good for the purist aspect. It's not good for the people that liked baseball before.
It's like The Bachelor. It's not real love.
It's good for the casual fan.
It's not real baseball.
That's what you're looking to get. The casual fan. The diehard is going to be there regardless and bitch and moan.
No.
But the casual, you can grab the casual with something like that. Because you're watching a game that's a three-run game in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning and going, I wonder when they're going to use him. I wonder when they're going to use him. Do you use Judge? Do you use Soto? Do you use this guy because he's hot? Do you use that guy? Oh, yeah. It's buzz. It's buzz.
I agree with Pete. They're buzzed. I can't imagine the Players Association would agree to this.
Why?
Because it makes a mockery of like the guys who, like, what about the guy who gets subbed out? Hey, you suck. Sit down. We're putting in our.
He still gets to play the game. He's not actually pinch hit for.
Yeah.
No job is taken away. If anything, it brings more buzz to the game and it could bring more eyeballs, which means that the television ratings could go up. It means more money for the players. The players union will not care at all.
Interesting.
If anything, they'll be all for it.
Let's see whether or not it gets implemented. You want to think there was some major uproar with the pitch clock and I know most people like it, but also doing the DH in the National League, now the stupid runner on second base. Honestly, I don't think Rob Manfred cares at all, as you point out, what actual baseball fans think. They're just trying to rope in kids. Why not put it on Nickelodeon? Because that seems to work for the NFL.
If that could bring more money to the league, I'm sure they will.
I'd rather that.
They don't care about the diehard. They don't care about the purist. They don't care about changing the rules. They've changed the rules a ton. Wild card was a big deal back in '95 when they implemented it. How could you change? Just adding more playoff teams. You've watered down the whole league. Now, how many teams we got?
Here's all I will say. We do have to take a break. NASCAR did this, and I know because I am a longtime NASCAR fan. My family had season tickets going back to when I was 12. I've been to hundreds of races at tracks all over the country. I've worked at tracks in the country. NASCAR tinkered with its formula so much because the sport became really expensive, of course. It used to be the number two spectator sport in the country with TV ratings behind the NFL. And it started to tank because it was so expensive and people couldn't really afford the tickets and blah, blah, blah. And then Dale Earnhardt died, which is, of course, not on the sport, but they really didn't recover from that for quite a while. NASCAR started tinkering with the rules. It got so complicated that now people can't actually follow it. And they ended up alienating a good portion of their their solid foundation fan base. I can't even keep up with it anymore because the rules constantly change. I don't love stage racing, all that crap. And so there is the possibility that you could alienate enough of your fans that they start to defect and go find something else. As you point out, baseball is... it's, you know, number four among the, maybe number three, among the four team sports, and we could find something else to spend our money on.
You could, but if you also just do nothing, you will continue to fade.
But I feel like I know we have to go. I feel like the pitch clock thing has been widely well received. Maybe that earns baseball a little more credibility, but it's in a good spot now. That's what they tell us. It's in a good spot now. What do you think about this rule? I know those of you who are actually sports fans think it's ridiculous as well. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, our TD of the Week candidates are coming up. Here's our latest sports update. So late. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, it was a wild back and forth game in Denver. The Broncos, though, able to come up with the biggest play of the night.
Denver, four-man rush. Quick throw outside. The ball is intercepted. Intercepted by the Broncos down the east sideline. This is going to be a house call. That is Jaquan McMillan.
Ball courtesy of the Broncos Radio Network. Second pick six of the night for Denver as Nick Bonito had a 71-yarder, part of three interceptions from Jameis Winston to go along with his four touchdowns and 497 yards. But the Broncos outlast the Browns 41-32.
I messed it up for us in front of the whole wide world. But I'm going to continue to get better. We're going to put this one behind us. And Lord willing, we go to Pittsburgh and finish strong. Finish. It's about finishing. It's about showing up when you need to show up most.
Jerry Jeudy had a career night against his former club. Nine catches, 235 yards, his touchdown. Bo Nix threw for 294 and a score. Denver has won 8 of 11, now sit at 8-5. 49ers frustrating and injury-plagued year. Got worse.
Christian McCaffrey was a PCL. Should have needed surgery, but still about a six-week recovery, so he'll be going IR also. And the surprise one from the game was J.P. Mason. Ended up having a high ankle sprain, so he's going to have to go to IR most likely also. And that's it from the game.
Head coach Kyle Shanahan, elsewhere the Saints lost Taysom Hill for the rest of the year, torn ACL, and the Bears announced they're sticking with GM Ryan Poles. NBA, the T-Wolves making easy work of the Lakers.
Nas, left side, Nikhil, hash mark three. Oh, yeah! Dante DiVincenzo, right on cue, makes the defensive play at one end. He's a 30-footer at the other.
11 for Dante DiVincenzo off the bench. Julius Randle led a balanced attack with 18. T-Wolves rip the Lakers 109-80. Call courtesy of the T-Wolves Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Celtics roll the Heat 108-89. Hawks outscore the Pelicans 124-112. While the Bulls dominate the Nets 128-102. College football, USC quarterback Miller Moss entering the transfer portal. In hockey, the Stars doubled Utah 2-1. Devils pound the Rangers 5-1. While the Maple Leafs, they overpower the Blackhawks 4-1. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, sports fans, Bart Winkler here on the Infinity Sports Network. Check us out 24/7 on your smart speaker. Just say play Infinity Sports Network.
Not even 30 minutes from now, you can vote for those TD of the Week options on either of our social media sites, at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page. And while we're talking about our show accounts or our show Twix, I retweeted this quick clip earlier. It's really funny. A lot of times when the NFL has players mic'd up or has microphones in places that are up close and personal with the teams, you can hear, or with the line of scrimmage, you can hear great stuff that you would never hear over the TV camera. And there was one moment in the game on Monday night between the Broncos and the Browns where Bo Nix is trying to get the Browns to jump off sides, and he's trying a hard snap count multiple times. He goes through the iteration. Then he says, jump off sides, jump off sides. And the camera actually catches it. So check that out on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. We're halfway through here on the Infinity Sports Network.